From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. In 2 weeks, on October 1st, the federal Do Not Call list becomes official. Some 50 million Americans have already put their numbers on the list, and the number is growing daily. Not surprisingly, telemarketers are scrambling for ways to survive the change. Mark Moran caught up with some of them at their national convention in Phoenix.
What you may see is relief from those annoying dinnertime phone calls, trying to sell you everything from timeshare condos to rock-bottom mortgage rates. The telemarketing industry sees as looming disaster. The conferees sat politely as Federal Communications Commission's Chief of Consumer and Governmental Affairs, Dane Snowden, praised the government's attempt to help put an end to the unwanted calls, which number as many as 108 million every day.
Everyone has a story to tell about a telemarketer calling them. And everyone wants some type of recourse to stop that. This is not to stop legitimate telemarketing. This is to say, consumers, you have options, you have choices. This is a vehicle you can use to control the calls that come to your home every day.
There is an alternative point of view.
Predictably, the telemarketing industry is opposed to the law and has filed suit to stop it from taking effect next month. Tim Searcy is executive director of the American Teleservices Association.
I'm not saying that there aren't better ways for us as communicators to try to market to folks and to target them. We struggle with that all the time. But like your front door, we have the constitutional right to knock on it. It's guaranteed. We do serve a valuable function, and we work hard to not be annoying.
Whether that's true or not, the American public has responded in droves to the Do Not Call list. But some of the people who make those calls say that the new law will put a lot of people out of work. Lisa Tawney Shorman owns a telemarketing company in Baltimore.
People aren't considering that there are millions and millions of people employed by telemarketing and that you're looking at about 2 million people who are going to lose their jobs or go out of business. The economic impact is huge. My friend owns a window company. He doesn't know if he'll be able to stay in business because that's how he gets his leads. I have people I know who own home improvement companies and insurance agencies who get 90% of their leads through telemarketing. You know, but hey, you don't have to answer the phone, so you're okay now.
Telemarketing executives support Shorman's claim that 2 million people will be out of work right away. And as the Telemarketing Association's Tim Searcy says, many of them will be people who can least afford to be unemployed.
5% are physically disabled. It's unusual. 26% are single mothers. 30% come from public assistance or welfare. We have 64% that are ethnic minorities. I mean, you have a group that is going to be hard-pressed to find a new occupation or a new job in an already fragile economy.
Some experts disagree. Anthony Chan, chief economist with Bank One Investment Advisors in Chicago, says most people who work as telemarketers won't lose their jobs. It's just that those jobs might change as companies look for different ways to attract customers.
I think what we'll probably see is more booths, perhaps, in malls opening up. I think we'll see stronger relationships with existing customers. I think we'll probably start to see more mail activity. And all these kinds of activities will, in fact, require people to monitor these activities and certainly to drive these activities.
Chan says telemarketers who continue to work the phones might actually benefit from the law because the people they're calling actually want to be contacted. In the meantime, the industry has kicked into high gear. One exemption to the rule is for companies that have an existing business relationship with the person. People here say that means between now and October 1st, lots of companies will be trying to sell you something to officially establish that relationship. They're being taught how to write persuasive sales scripts designed to, quote, move the buyer through the process to agreement in minimal time, and moving call centers offshore, where labor is much cheaper. They're investigating technology that will allow them to comply with the law while looking for loopholes to help them skirt it. For NPR News, I'm Mark Moran in Phoenix.